प्रकटित पर ब्रह्म तत्व युवानम वर्षिष्ठान्ते वसदृशिगणैरावृतं ब्रह्मनिष्ठैः आचार्येन्द्रं करकलितचिन्मुद्रमानन्दरूपं स्वात्मा रामं मुदितवदनं दक्षिणामूर्तिमीडे वटविटपि समीपे भूमिभागे निषण्णं सकलमुनिजनानां ज्ञानधातारमारात् त्रिभुवनगुरुमीशं दक्षिणामूर्तिदेवम् जनन मरण दुख छेद दक्षम नमामि यन्नित्यमानंद मनंतमेकं शिवेति नामना श्रुतयो गृणन्ति तस्यावतारो नररूपधारी कृपासुधाब्दी भुवि रामकृष्णः जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयो श्रुत्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयात् इतरतश्चार्त्वेष विज्ञस्वराड् तेने ब्रह्महृताय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरयः तेजो वारिमृतां यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तगुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि सत्यव्रतं सत्यपरं त्रिसत्यं सत्यस्य योनिं निहितं च सत्ये सत्यस्य सत्यं मृतसत्यनेत्रं सत्यात्मकं त्वां शरणं प्रपन्नाः मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यस्वानुभावमखिल श्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमतिथितीर्षतां तमोऽन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनाम्। ब्रह्माजी आन्सरिङ्ग् दि क्वश्चिन् आफ् नारद ऋषि that how the creation has come into existence. While trying to answer about the creation, he says about his own manifestation being the first born, how Bhagavan came and revealed the knowledge about this entire srishti. So before going to the actual shloka, we are trying to see what is the vision of Vedanta about seven basic questions of humanity. What are the seven basic questions? Jiva Swarupa, nature of the individual; Jagat Swarupa, nature of the entire creation; then Ishwara Swarupa, nature of the creator; then Bandha Swarupa, that is what is the cause for suffering in the creation; then fifth one is Moksha Swarupa, what is the solution for the problem; and what are all the sadhanani, sixth one; then finally Jnana Phalam, what is the benefit of gaining this knowledge. So we were seeing the difference between Vedantic vision and all the other visions, views of all the other philosophers and theologians we have put one side, left side, and Vedantic vision we have put it in the right side. And we are trying to find out the answer for these questions. The purpose of discussing these views of other religious theologies is to find out what in reality or in truth I am. What is the reality of myself? Being a jignasu, being a seeker after truth, we are in search of the truth. Every opinion of any theology or philosophy has some bearing upon me. Any theology or any philosophy I accept as my theology or my philosophy according to that philosophy only my goal, my lifestyle, my sadhanas, everything will be there. Therefore, every opinion has to be scrutinized. Whichever opinion doesn't stand the scrutiny of Shruti, Yukti, Anubhava, Pramanas has to be known as false opinion. A thinking mind has to see the false as false. A thinking mind will see the false as false. You cannot help it. Because jnanam is vastu tantram. Shankaracharya beautifully comments in Upanishad and other contexts. Jnanam, knowledge is vastu tantram. You cannot have any choice. If your instruments of knowledge are in proper working condition, whatever is the vastu, that will be shown to you, that is the knowledge. If it is a red flower, eyes should show to you only as a red flower only. Understood? Eyes will show, not according to our fancy, whims and fancies, it will change the color of the flower. So we cannot help it seeing things as they are, provided when we use the pramanam in a proper way. So they call it buddhihi sarvada jnana pakshapadi. This buddhi is there. Na? Always it will hear only one view, that is, what is the view of knowledge? Even if it is a erroneous view, at that particular moment it considers it as a knowledge. Therefore it takes it as a knowledge. In future when contradicted, then it becomes erroneous view. So we have to see the views of other philosophers and the theologians also in order to make the Vedantic view as an uncontradicted one. Vedantic view alone stands Shruti, Yukti, Anubhava, Pramana. Through Shruti, Yukti, Anubhava, Pramana, we try to scrutinize every idea about ourselves, about the God, about the creation. So Vedanta alone stands this scrutiny. Therefore only Vedantic parampara was uncompromising one. In search of truth, Vedantic parampara was uncompromising one. They did not accept anything which doesn't pass through this test called Shruti, Yukti, Anubhava, Pramana. In Brahma Sutra, Vyasacharya openly declares that the perception of Sankhya philosophy is really a wrong perception. Ikshatehe na ashabdham, he openly says. According to Sankhya philosopher, the Srishti is the product of matter. Like scientists say, the Srishti is the product of matter, material substance. So Vyasacharya openly says it is avaidikam. It doesn't stand our scrutiny. Ashabdham, ashabdham, it is ashabdham means avaidikam. And in another place, he strongly criticizes Buddhistic view. Sarvatha anupapatheshcha is the sutra. Buddhism has four types of views about all these basic questions. Kshanika vijnanavata, shunyavata, like that. Vyasacharya strongly rejects, these two philosophies are rejected. Those philosophies were very popular philosophies in the time of during the time of Vyasacharya, and Shankaracharya also beautifully explains the view of Vedanta. So therefore we cannot avoid scrutinizing other theologies. Understand? Vedantic Acharyas could not accommodate all the philosophies. When they found it is wrong, they openly told that it is wrong. They could accommodate the philosophers. They have respect for philosophers. They could accommodate all types of religions and philosophies. But they did not accept everything and anything told by those philosophers as a correct one. So they have given the place called Purva Pakshi. All the philosophers who had wrong perception were given in our culture what? Purva Pakshi, opponent. Opponent means what? You have accommodated him as a opponent person. When you are in search of truth, you cannot accept any and every opinion of others just because it is popular or just because it is told by a popular person. In knowledge, in fact, there is no possibility of accommodation at all. 2 plus 2 is equal to 4 only. Understand? So in knowledge, there is no possibility of Catholicism. But in transaction, we can accommodate. We can accommodate everyone and allow everyone to have their own views with them. The problem is when they come to us and try to convince their philosophies, their theologies, then only we have to say that it is wrong, it doesn't stand our scrutiny. So, ignorance is the only birthright of human mind. So, we don't condemn anyone as ignorant. Just because he is ignorant, we don't condemn anyone. The problem is when the ignorant perception is considered as the right perception, then as a seeker of the truth, I cannot accept it. That's why Acharyas did not attempt to convert anyone. They did not attempt to convert anyone or destroy any religious community. Because they know time is the best curator, they call. So devourer. It devours everything. Time, kalaha, sarva bhakshakaha, it devours. Only one thing it cannot devour. What is that? Satya. So they know that all these religious ideas, wrong perceptions, theologies and philosophies will go automatically from the society. So therefore, they had the conviction that as long as any religion, any philosophy, any theology is useful in making humanity, at least as a human being, that religion, that theology will be a living religion or living theology. Now, where is Sankhya? Where is Sankhya? It is in museum. Because of Shankaracharya and Vyasacharya, Sankhya philosophy is alive, at least those who study these philosophies, correct? Otherwise, you don't know what it is at all. As a Purva Pakshi, we are able to know that. Understood? So, all have gone to the oblivion. That's why Vedantic Acharyas did not attempt to convert anyone. In our Sanatana Dharma, that is the beauty. Even though we are very shrewd, even though we are very sincere in search of truth, at the same time, when we find that somebody is not having the truth, we did not hate them. We did not persecute them. We did not try to convert them or destroy them. So our Sanatana Dharma never persecuted any religion or any culture. So Vedantic teachers have accepted every religion as a useful one, at least for immature people. When Swami Vivekananda was criticizing Tantric Mata, left-hand practices, Sri Ramakrishna said, for that Mata also there are some people. At least through that practices, some will get some maturity. That is the attitude of our Vedantic teachers. At least it will make that person as a matured human being, even though it is a wrong view. What is that wrong view which makes a person a human being, at least? One example, God is in Vaikuntha or in heaven. If you are living here in a religious manner, you will get a seat there. Correct? So certainly this will help the person to get maturity. He will not violate. And God is sitting there and watching you, suppose. This is the idea. So if he has this idea is, it doesn't stand the scrutiny of the Vedanta, scrutiny of the logic. Even though it doesn't stand the scrutiny, even though it is a false idea, why we call it false idea? Because God cannot be limited to one particular place. Therefore, it's a false idea, but still it helps the humanity to conduct their day-to-day life. Therefore, Vedantic teachers did not try to destroy all these theologies and religion. In fact, they encouraged. They built temples, wrote Puranas, Itihasas, added some masalas. All masalas are given by whom? Vyasacharya only. Mahabharata was written by Vyasacharya only. Huge description of heaven is there. Because Arjuna goes there, lives there 5 years. So huge description of heaven and dance and other things are there in Mahabharata. So they wrote all these stories also just to encourage the society to get some maturity. But at the same time, when the question of truth came, it was simply smashed. Simply it was smashed. This idea of heaven as the last word. Heaven is there, but heaven as the last word, this idea was smashed. They were uncompromised in regard to truth, but they were accommodative with regard to utility of every idea, every religion. Therefore, this discussion, which we are going to see hereafter, is not meant to criticize any religion. It is not meant to criticize any religious founder. It is not meant to look down any philosopher. It is meant to correct our own understanding, because all these theologies are here in our mind. Okay, these theologies are governing our life. So when we understand what is the truth, accordingly our life will change. So it should not make, this discussion should not make you to hate or look down any religion or any society. In the last class we saw what is the opinion of Avaidika Matam, that is, other than Vedantic philosophy, we call all other philosophies or theologies as Avaidika Matam. What is the opinion about that individual? We saw individual is a born sinner. Some say it is because of your sin you are born. Some say it is because of your forefather's sin you are born. That's all. By birth you are a sinner, and whole life is spent for what? For remove that sin by praying to somebody. Human being is an imperfect being. There is no hope of becoming perfect in this human life. You need a savior to save you from your sin, and he will save you how? By giving you a place in heaven or some other lokas. So it promises humanity about future salvation, that too after death. Whereas Vaidika Matam doesn't promise anything. It says these are all the places are there. If you are ready to go, if you want to go, you can go. But anywhere you go, you have to come back. And you are Purnaha, born Purnaha. You are full and complete. You are beautiful. You are not at all born. You are beautiful first. Even though you are born, you are beautiful as Purnaha. Second stage is you are not at all born. And third stage is you cannot born. Being all pervasive, you cannot born. So life's goal is not to die to get a promised land, but to get knowledge about your reality. No one can limit your fullness. Even God cannot rob away your fullness or mukta swarupa. This is the truth of yourself. Therefore, try to find out that truth. So, Vaidika Matam doesn't promise anything. Other philosophies, that is Avaidika Matam, demands your unconditional belief. Vaidika Matam demands your understanding. Avaidika Matam has many unverifiable dogmas and doctrines, like eternal heaven. Eternal heaven. It is contradicting our logic. If it is considered as a place, then naturally no place can be eternal. And once for all, getting the either reward or punishment. Eternal punishment. Eternal damnation. So these are all dogmas and doctrines, requires your faith. Whereas Vedanta asks you to understand the God, dismisses the need for a savior. It doesn't say that there is a necessity for savior. What it reveals as a reality of yourself is verifiable. It is verifiable. This is about the individual. Now we go to Jagat Swarupam, about the reality of creation. the perception of other religious and philosophers is will go by stage by stage, because this is the one place I get a chance to give the Vedanta as it is, because here afterwards only story comes. So I thought this is the best place, and this is called Chatushloki Bhagavatam. In four shlokas entire Bhagavatam is given. Before going to philosophers, let us take atheists including scientists. Atheists say that creation is equal to manifestation of inert matter. It is a manifestation of inert substance, because out of nothing you cannot create anything. Therefore, creation means not something newly coming, something is there already as a substance. So from that the creation is manifested. How it is manifested, if you ask, there was a big bang. One theory says there was a big bang, suddenly including the space, everything was created after big bang. Here the problem is, before big bang space was not there. Where was this substance? Where was this substance before big bang? There is no space. So where was this, in what form this substance was there? Understood? Being inner, it should have some place to stay. Where it is stay, where it was? So that is the question which they are not able to answer. But according to them, creation is manifestation of, product of matter through an accident. No interference of conscious entity in this manifestation. There is no role for a conscious entity in creation. There is no role for a conscious entity. That is the idea of scientists and atheists. Then if you come to theologies, especially Semitic theologies, they say God created this world. If you ask which God, the God in heaven has created the world. Okay, so naturally God is different from the world. God, who is different from the world, has created the world. So he is a conscious entity. Because creation is created by God, this creation is God-centered creation. So imagine a dialogue. Child asks the father, "Father, who created the world?" Then father says, "God created the world." Where was he before creating? God in heaven has created the world, father says. Then child goes back and thinks, God is in heaven. Dad, what is the meaning of heaven? Oh, it's a place. God in heaven means heaven must be a place. Oh, you don't know it's a place. God in heaven has created. Then child asks, who created heaven? So father hereafter he cannot answer. So being a father, he has a privilege to say, shut up your mouth. Understood? The child goes back to his room and comes back. Dad, I have an answer. There are three things I heard. One is world, another is heaven, third one is hell. So before creating the heaven, God must have been in hell. Is it okay, Dad? Father, what he'll tell again? So as long as you don't become father, it's a privilege to ask any question. Okay. Once you become the father, then also it's a privilege not to answer. While asking also, you don't know the answer. Okay. You don't get the answer as a child. Then after becoming father also, you need not answer. So that is the unanswerable questions come to you if you accept this theology. What is that theology? Creator is different from the creation. And he has done it out of sweet will. For his sweet will, I have to suffer. Correct? For his sweet will, I have to suffer. So if I start asking question, what immediately theologian says, you know, Satan speaks through you. Because another parallel entity is there. Along with the Lord, there is another parallel entity, Satan speaks through you. So they have lot of questions which they are not able to answer. From what substance he has created? You cannot say out of nothing he has created. There is no pratyaksha pramana for that, nor logic supports that. Out of nothing, nothing is created. If it is done, if the possibility is there, the possibility which is in the cause should be in the product also. Understood? The possibility of creating something out of nothing is possible. Same possibility must be there with regard to product called creation also. Then all our mothers will be very happy to prepare food. So as even guests come, out of nothing one masala dosa comes. Understood? So out of nothing even one ordinary dosa doesn't come. Where is the question of creation? And if you say out of something he has created, what is that something? And who has created that something? Where that something was kept? So all these problematic questions come to the theologians, which they are not able to answer. If you come to Vedantic vision, Vedanta outright says there is no creation. Outright. The very word creation is a misnomer. The very word creation is a misnomer. Beautifully, my Acharya used to say, the very word creation creates confusion. When the creation is confusion, is not understood. Or you can say in another word, creation of confusion will be there as long as confusion of creation exists. This is nice. Creation of confusion will be there as long as confusion of creation exists. In reality, creation does not exist at all. Creation is another name for the creator, because nothing can be created. The creation is not at all the word in the Vedanta. Srishti they call it. Srishti means what? Manifestation. Abhivyakti karanam srishti. There is something and that something manifests itself. So creation is an apparent entity. There are four type of entities we find. One is tuccham. Tuccham means a non-existent entity. For example, I will quote a shloka of our Shankaracharya. Mrugatrishnam basi snataha kah pushpakrita shekaraha yesha vandya suto yati shashashringa dhanurdharaha. Yeshaha, this vandya putraha, a son of barren woman, goes having shashashringa dhanurdharaha, having the bow made up of rabbit horn, having taken bath in mirage water, keeping sky flower on his head. This is statement. Yesha vandya putraha yati, this son of barren woman is going, carrying his bow made up of rabbit horn, taking bath in the mirage water and having sky flower on his head. All the four things are not at all there. But still you can create statement, you see. This is called unholy compound. In language, this is called unholy compound. Because you know mruga. Mruga means an animal or deer or something. Trishna word you know. Ambasi word you know. You put all the three words. Mruga, Trishna, Ambasi. When you put all the three words, it becomes mirage water, non-existent. And ka means space. Pushpa means flower. So ka pushpa means sky flower. Sky flower doesn't exist at all. So words are there, but they don't mean any existing thing. So this statement was told by whom? What is the statement? Here goes a son of barren woman, having his bow made up of rabbit horn, having taken baths in the mirage water, keeping sky flower on his head. Who told this? Mukaha. Dumb. Dumb person told. Who heard this? Kanaha. Deaf heard. Who saw this? Andaha. A blind man saw this. Who believed it? Vayam. We have believed. So we are all such gluttons who can swallow big pumpkin. Huge pumpkins we can swallow, especially in the field of religion. The sample is, the biggest pumpkin in our religion is what? God is in Vaikuntha or heaven. Huge pumpkin it is. Very huge pumpkin. Generally, when a person says God is in Vaikuntha, what we understand? God is in Vaikuntha only, correct? Especially in Semitic religion, when they say God is in heaven, what we understand? God is in heaven only. That's why you have to wait for judgment day and you have to go for it, correct? But when Vedanta says God is in Vaikuntha, what it says? The all-pervasive God in Vaikuntha also. Very important idea. Understand? And a God who doesn't have form but sitting on throne, another pumpkin. I'm trying to, at least whether imagination-wise it comes, whether it's possible. A formless entity sitting on throne, having a crown, watching you all the time, at the same time loving you. Is it possible? It's a huge pumpkin, you know, this idea of God. But majority of humanity not only has swallowed it, and it claims that this is the greatest thing everyone can swallow. Understood? And they canvass also. Some group threaten also, if you don't accept this pumpkin, you will not be existing in that. So this is called tucham, non-existent thing. Second one is anrutam. Anrutam means subjectively it is existing, like dream. For that individual, it exists subjectively. Then third one is satyam, eternally existing. At all periods of time, it exists independently. What it is? What it is? Consciousness. Consciousness is the satyam. Fourth one is mithya. Why I have brought this, all these four words? In order to explain that srishti is mithya. So can you put this srishti in tucham category? Can you put srishti in tucham? Tucham means what? Not at all existing. Or can you put this srishti in satyam category? Say for example, there is a pot. There is a clay pot. Before creation of that clay pot, what was there? Clay was there, okay? From clay, which is the material substance, pot has come. After the destruction of pot, what will be there? Clay only will be there. During creation or during existence of the pot, what is there? Pot is there. That is the normal answer. Shastra says, all right, take your pot, and give me the clay. During transaction as pot, also what is there? Actually, clay only is there. 1 million pots are there. How many clay is there? One clay. If you tell 1 million clay, I will tell 1 million plus one clay. That plus one clay is not outside. It is in your head. 1 million pot is there, but one clay only. Correct? So what is the status you can give to this pot? Pot is a product. Any product is called creation, srishti. So what is the status you can give to this srishti? Can you put this pot in tucham, non-existent entity, like rabbit horn, like sky flower, like mirage water? You cannot put it. Can you put this pot in anrutam, that is subjective existence, like dream? Can you put it? No. Or can you dismiss it all completely? No. Or can you accept it that it is satyam? No. So you need one more word to explain this. It's a peculiar existing thing which is called apparent existence. It exists and it has utility also. The utility given by the pot cannot be given by clay. Correct? So it is useful, but at the same time it doesn't exist independently. It exists only dependent on the substance. Weight of the pot is weight of the clay. Correct? Name of the pot is name of the clay or pot? Pot. Color of the pot is color of the clay or pot? Ordinary pot is there. Color of the pot is the color of clay. Weight of the pot is the weight of clay. Form of the pot is form of clay. Pot doesn't have any form. All the forms are already existing in the clay.
Forms and shape.
Shape. Understood? Only name belongs to pot. That's why Shastra told Vacharambanam Vikaro Namadeyam. This Namadeyam is there, na? Namadeyam means name given ceremony. Name giving ceremony is called Namadeyam. Naam ke vaste they call it? Just a name. A new name is introduced for the good old entity because of new utility. Because of its new utility, one name is given. So, pot is a non-substance, another name for the already existing substance. Still, you cannot dismiss it since it has utility. You have to keep that entity as a separate entity, separate from tucham, anrutam and satyam. Then what is that category you keep it? Mithya. Suppose you say, yesterday I went to a showroom and purchased car, Swamiji. You say, so I ask, what do you mean by that car? Car you don't know, Swamiji. Car? No, please tell, what do you mean by car? Is it steering? Or is it wheel? This is a beautiful joke by our Acharya Swamiji. Is it a wheel? Is it a tube? Or is it air? Is it battery? Is it petrol? Like that you go on, ask. That fellow says, who purchased that car, he says, no. It's not tube, it's not tire, it's not air, it's not petrol. All put together is called car. All put together is called car. And this Swami is mischievous Swami. He says, all right, you bring one by one. You bring one by one. Put the body, then tire, then keep on battery, and pour petrol, and sit there and ignite. What happens?
Car doesn't move. You have to fly. Correct? So what do you mean by car? Car is a product. What do you mean by that? It is put together, is okay, but that is not completely okay. It is put together intelligently. Understood? It is put together intelligently. Then also it is not okay. With a purpose, you have to add. With a purpose. Then also it is not okay, your definition. Deliberately. Anything which is put together deliberately by an intelligent principle with a purpose is called Srishti. Understood now? So entire gamut of creation comes under this category called Mithya. What is the substance of car? Please tell. What is the substance of car? What is the substance of car? What is the substance of human body, you tell? There are so many substances. Correct? So many are there. So you can say that it is the combination of air, space and blood and so many things are there. So you put all the things in a bag. You put all these things, water, toilet, urine and so many other things, whatever is there in that body. You put all to put together. Anything happens? Nothing happens. So therefore, Vedanta says that this creation is mithya. It doesn't have separate existence. At the same time, it is not non-existing thing. It exists dependently. So what is that substance? What is that basic substance? Vedanta reveals Ishvaraha as the basic substance. Consciousness as the basic substance. That's why in the Vishnu Sahasranama, another name for Bhagavan is what? Vishvam Vishnurva Shatkaro. Vishnu Sahasranama means 1008 names of the Lord Vishnu. What is the first name? Vishvam. Very Vishvam is Vishnu. Vishvam Vishnurva Shatkaro. The first line comes. Vishvam is equal to Vishnu. 1008 names means what? Name of one individual. Therefore, one name is equal to another name. Understand? One name is equal to another name. Second name is equal to third name. Like that. All are synonyms. Correct? So, for Bhagavan, what is the first name given in that stotra? Vishvam. So, Vedanta reveals, idam brahma, idam kshatram, ime loka, imani bhutani, idagam sarvam, yadayam atma. Everything, whatever you see here, perceive here, known and unknown, everything is consciousness. So, yesho anima, aitadatyam, idagam sarvam, tadu satyam. Satya means here, consciousness. So, what is the formula given by Vedanta here about the creation? Idam sarvam means creation. Idam sarvam, idam means what? This. This means what? That which is perceived. That which is known. And which is unknown but knowable in future. Everything put together is called idam. Sarvam is equal to Ishvaraha. All that is here is God. When Vedanta says this, all that is here is God, if you ask, how can I believe God? Your mind is always habituated to believe. God is in heaven, when he told, we believed it. Now, God is earth, suppose. Vedanta says, idam sarvam is equal to God means what? God is earth. So, you are in trouble. How to believe? Because in that earth only, our neighbor also is there. Problematic neighbor. God is in heaven. When it is told, you swallow it. Because no contradiction for you in your perception. Understood? To contradict, you should have gone to heaven. There you would have searched, hey, where is God? Where is God? What is the address of God? Then after going there, here also he is not there. I searched there. So there also he is not there. So to contradict, you have to go and search. So impossibility of searching is there. Therefore, so silently you swallow the pumpkin. Understood? But here, this revelation of Vedanta, you are not able to swallow. So naturally, how can I believe? The question comes. Vedanta says, it is not a matter of belief, it is a matter of understanding. So Vedanta is the only religion, only philosophy says, understand God. All religious theologies say, believe in God, fear in God. There are so many people who are proud to say, I am God-fearing person. Correct? Have you come across? I am God-fearing person. If God is a, what do you call, source of your fear, he cannot be God. You don't understand the meaning of the word God. Understood? Dog can be object of your fear. Because it barks. It pounces upon you. But God cannot be that. So Vedanta says, try to understand. Suppose if I say, you had great, great, great grandfather. You had great, great, great grandfather. Do you accept? Hey, you have not seen him? Have you seen him? You have not seen him. How can you accept it? This is called knowledge. Even though you have not seen him, the very fact you are here with 60 kilo or 70 kilo shows that you had great, great, great grandfather. Is it knowledge or belief? Knowledge. Okay. If you accept your third level great grandfather, Shastra says, try to find out whether the existence of greatest grandfather. Understood? Father means what? Material cause, at least 50%. Understood? Material cause for this body is he who? Father, at least 50%. So when you accept the great, great, great grandfather, who is the material cause, three generations before, when Vedanta says, Bhagavan is that greatest grandfather. Pitahamasya jagataha, mata, dhata, pitamahaha, he says. Everything I am the father, I am the mother, I am the grandfather also like that. So will you say that? I won't believe. You cannot say that because it is not the matter of belief, it is a matter of understanding. It's a matter of knowledge. Knowing the God as the ultimate cause is not a belief but understanding. This equation is a real challenge for any thinking mind. What is the equation? Idagam sarvam is equal to Ishwaraha. Understanding this equation is the real challenge for any thinking mind. And this is the equation which is the base for entire Hindu or Indian culture. In this Indian culture alone, you can see everything is worshipped, including snakes. Rats also are worshipped. Rats and crows, okay? Not only living beings, animals, even inert things also. Mountains are worshipped. River is worshipped. Why? Because this is the philosophy behind this understanding of Indian culture. It's the most unique culture. In this culture, you go to any uneducated person, educated person in the schools and colleges, spoiled case. So he will not answer your question. What is the question? Where is God? What is the question? Where is God? If you go to any village and ask, where is God? Illiterate person in the so-called sense. He will see you this way, that way. From which satellite you have come? Because you are having pant and shirt and of course cooling glass also. So he'll ask you again one more question. Where is not God? Where is not? Because in his understanding it is a fact that God is everything. It is very, very much percolated in our blood, in our culture. That is why inadvertently you stamp upon currency, money. What you do? What you do? You ask for pardon. Why? Because that currency may be a concept. It's a concept. Okay. Currency is nothing but a promissory note for tendering, and it's a concept created by government. That's all. It's a paper, that's all. The paper doesn't deserve any reverence. But still, what you do? You know that it is Lakshmi. So you ask pardon. If you are Hindu, you ask pardon in one way. If you are a Christian, if you are Indian Christian, you will ask pardon by putting cross. Okay? Something you will do. Understood? Something you will do. Why? Because it is percolated. Everything is worshipful one. That is the idea. And this is the most wonderful culture wherein you find one celebration yearly once. They call it Vishwakarma Puja or Ayudha Puja. In South India it is called Ayudha Puja. In North India it is called Vishwakarma Puja. What does it mean? The instruments which you are using daily, you worship. It's an instrument, you know that. And even you trampled on that instrument. Above the car you stood also. Above the bike you stood also. On that particular day, bike becomes your God. And you hated that also. Indian history book. Once you open, you used to get sleep. Because that is the thing. In Indian history books, in our schools, most boring one. Because nothing is there. Or whatever is there is lie. Not inspiring one. So, that book, what you do? You respect that day. And special respect is given for that book. You might have experienced that. On that book, whichever subject you are not doing well, that book you put above. So that book will get extra kumkum. Correct? Extra flower. So somehow you can manage. So this is the beautiful culture wherein instruments which we use in day-to-day life becomes the object of worship. The space where we live becomes the object of worship. Mountains, rivers, natural elements, everything becomes the object of worship because of this philosophy has percolated the Indian culture. Therefore only we can invoke Bhagavan in any form. We don't have a problem at all. And after invoking the Bhagavan in that particular form, say for example Durga form or Ganesha form, Ganesha you take. You do what? All puja, abhisheka, everything you do 3 days. After that what you do? You arrange for music party. Huge music party. Tara, tappatta, everything comes. The drums and other kettles and comes. What you do? You are carrying it to destroy that form. And that too a happy procession it is. Can you try in any other religion? Can you try? Can you imagine? Can anybody try? No, because if they destroy, they will not have another form. Only one form is there. Understood? They cannot even imagine. But in our culture, every form is sacred as long as it invokes the Lord in your mind. Once the form has invoked the Lord in your mind, then it loses its utility. Therefore, we allow it to go back to its own original condition. What do you do? Yathasthanam bhavatu. The ordinary turmeric powder which mother used daily in kitchen becomes Ganesha suddenly. Because Ganesha Chaturthi, Ganesha is not there. Costly also. So what mother does? Just ordinary. Say yesterday afternoon she put the turmeric powder for sambar. Same turmeric powder, now it has become Ganesha. Haridra Bimbe Mahaganapatim ஆவாகயாமி. நாட் ஆர்டினரி கணபதி, மகா கணபதி ஆவாகயா. ஸோ எவ்ரி திங் டிசர்வ்ஸ் வர்ஷிப். ஹீ கேன் பி இன்வோக்ட், லார்ட் கேன் பி இன்வோக்ட் இன் எனி திங். திஸ் இஸ் பாசிபிள் ஓன்லி பிகாஸ் ஆஃப் திஸ் விஷன் தட் கிரியேட்டர் இஸ் நாட் டிஃபரண்ட் ஃப்ரம் கிரியேஷன். இட்ஸ் அ ஒன்லி யூனிக் விஷன் ஆஃப் ஒன்லி வேதாந்த. ஸோ ப்ராடக்ட், திஸ் பேசிக் சப்ஸ்டன்ஸ் ஆஃப் திஸ் ப்ராடக்ட் கால்ட் கிரியேஷன் இஸ் ஹூ? பகவான், கான்சியஸ் என்டிட்டி. வென் யூ அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் தட், யூ கேன் இன்வோக் ஹிம் இன் ஏ ஸ்மாலஸ்ட் வே ஆல்சோ, பட் த இன்வோக்ட் ஐட்டம் இஸ் கம்ப்ளீட். சப்போஸ் யூ அண்ட் யுவர் ஃப்ரெண்ட் ஆர் சிட்டிங், ஹீ புல்ஸ் யுவர் ஃபிங்கர், ஓகே, இட்ஸ் த ஸ்மாலஸ்ட் பார்ட் ஆஃப் யுவர் பாடி. ஸோ ஹவு மச் அட்டென்ஷன் யூ கிவ், ஹவு மச் யூ ஆர் இன்வோக்ட். ஹீ புல்ஸ் யுவர் அட்டென்ஷன் மீன்ஸ் வாட், ஹீ வாண்ட்ஸ் டு ட்ரை டு இன்வோக் யூ டுவர்ட்ஸ் ஹிம், ஓகே. ஹவு மச் அட்டென்ஷன் யூ வில் கிவ்? ஃபிங்கர் அட்டென்ஷன் ஒன்லி ஃபிங்கர்ல, பிகாஸ் ஐ ஆம் 70 kilo weight. So finger only is invoked. Will it be a partial attention or complete attention? Complete attention. What the form by which you invoke doesn't matter, but the thing which you get is what? Complete. And Ganga Snana you call. How many kilometers are there, Ganga? How many kilometers? Thousands of kilometers. You touch every part of Ganga, but still what you say? I went and had Ganga Snan. So Ganga is invoked even by prayer in your bathroom bucket. Not only Ganga. Ganga cha Yamune cha iva Godavari Saraswati. That water comes from where? Municipal tank. Not cleaned at all. And you invoke the Ganga, all the rivers in your bathroom bucket for what? To purify yourself. Understood? By prayer, how this attitude comes. So everything in the creation is manifestation of that Lord. When it is understood, what is the benefit? What is the benefit? You are relaxed. Are you afraid of space? You are afraid of fire, water, earth, wind. Are you afraid of space? No. Why? You understood that it cannot be avoided. You cannot avoid space. Correct? So it is all-pervasive one. It is all-pervasive one. Its presence is infallible. In the presence of infallible thing, you are always relaxed. If Bhagavan is understood as an infallible entity, you will not have fear at all. So you are relaxed and you are in security. So now the question comes, how that substance called consciousness has become this jagat? What is the mechanism? You told that it is not inert substance. If it is inert substance, it cannot become product. Clay doesn't become pot automatically. There must be some intelligent entity as a potter. Now you have revealed only substance. As the substance means what? Material substance, material cause. Who is the intelligent cause? Shastra says, who can be other than him? One and the same entity has to be intelligent cause and material cause. One and the same entity has to be intelligent and material cause. How? Because we have seen, if the material, the substance is differentiated from the intelligent cause, lot of questions come. As Semitic theology says, God is different from material. God is the giver, world is the given out of something. And that something, where it is kept? Who has created that something? Before creation, where he was? So lot of questions we saw that which they are not able to answer. So the creator, the intelligent cause and the material cause must be the one and the same one. So Shastra says, Tada ikshate bahusyam praja eeti satapotapyate satapastaptva idagum sarvam asrujate tada ikshate. That principle, which is a conscious principle, idagam sarvam asrujate, it became everything. It became everything. It became everything means what? Clay became pot. So Bhagavan became creation. So who made it to become pot? He himself is the intelligent cause. Therefore, Shastra says, everything known and unknown in the creation is not only himself, it is given by himself. Understood? It is not only himself, it is given by himself. One and the same entity must be the cause, as intelligent cause, as material cause. There is no other possibility. More detail we will see in the next class. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmani Pranada Kleshanashaya Govindaya Namo Namaha Tadeva Ramyam Ruchiram Navam Navam Tadeva Shashvan Manaso Mahotsavam Tadeva Shokar Navashochanam Rinam Yeduttama Shloka Yashonu Giyate Gopika Jivanasmaranam Govinda Govinda.